Dude, our family vacations after legalization, it was like everyone acted so normal about it immediately. I think the first time, like, it was back in 2000. Oh God, when did they legalize? Like 2012 or something like that, 2013. I went and had Thanksgiving dinner at my mom's place. The whole family's there. She has four brothers and they all have kids, so it's a huge family over there. We're like about to start eating dinner. My mom's like, should we have a joint before we eat? Like, and my uncles were like, yeah, absolutely. Like, let's go. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, can we come? Or is there like a kid's joint? Or like, where do I go?
Can I get another kid's joint?
Yeah. Like, I was like,
I love the kid's table joint.
The kid's table joint. Because I was like,
oh, they have the bong.
Are we? Yeah.
It's colorful and, you know.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to a new episode of Halvfulla Glas with Alex and Casper. I am Alex. And with me I have...
Casper. I am Casper.
Yes, hi Casper. Today we're doing an English episode because we have a very special guest with us.
I can introduce her. So we have today my, as you call it, stand-up mommy, which is very perverse in some way, I don't know. But either way, her name is Catherine LaRue. Welcome.
Welcome.
Woo! Hey, guys. Thank you so much. Oh, my gosh. I shouldn't have said stand-up mommy, by the way. Like, maybe I should have just cut it off at mom. Like, stand-up mom. Like, imagine me in mom jeans, you know, and just, come on, sweetie, get up there. Like,
you can do it.
You got, like, cut-up apple slices in a Ziploc bag.
Yeah, except we're in a bar, so I've got, like, shots lined up. And I'm like, yeah, here, I have a fry. Like, you know, a French fry.
Yeah, mom is more of the, like, complicated relationship mom-son where you don't exactly know where the line goes and you don't want to know. So we're not going to go there.
It just makes me want to go to therapy hearing the word mommy. You know, I'm just like, I feel like I need to talk to somebody about this.
But to explain, she actually held a course for beginners at stand-up. And she and Kirsty Armstrong were kind of the leaders of this course. And I was one of the participants. So it ended up with us actually standing on stage with Magnus Betnér.
I saw that. I was there.
So that was a very good experience, and I will carry it with me for life. So,
I'm
thankful for that.
Oh, that's so cool! I'm so happy to hear that. I honestly forgot.
I teach a lot of people a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff because I have so much to give. but seriously, like now I'm kind of going down a new journey of trying to get like different kinds of people to join stand-up. I think in the beginning, you know, I'm just like, because stand-up is for everybody. That's why I'm so passionate about it and love it so much. And that's why you can see all of the world's perspectives within stand-up. And that was a great fucking night. Oh my God. And you were amazing. You were so good. Maybe not as good as Magnus Betnér.
I mean, like, if you would have put me on, like, after him, I would never have forgiven you. But,
right? Yeah, I don't want to go up after him. Fuck that. No.
What I think is funny is that we jokingly say that Casper started with stand-up because I laugh at most things he say. So he's like, oh, yeah, I'm funny. I should do stand-up.
And then I got up on the stage like, oh, well, these people aren't Alex. this is an issue.
But that's how it starts, though. I mean, like, we have to be funny in front of our friends because then someone finds us funny. You know, like, that's a really important step. So well, good is for that you,
how
you, Alex.
Is that
like,
how you started?
Yeah.
In Colorado.
Actually, funny story.
That's why we're here.
Yeah, exactly. Funny story. I mean, I wanted to be an actress for, like, since I was a little girl. And I went to acting school in LA where I met my Swedish husband. And we came to Sweden, man, classic story. Like, we came to Sweden the first time in July. And I was like, wow, we were just visiting for 2 weeks. And I was like, wow, oh my God, this place is great. I love the midnight sun. This place kicks ass, great transportation. And then and then he loses his visa. We lived in LA together for 5 years. And then we, you know, he lost his visa and it was either get married or move to Sweden.
And now you're in Sweden. In
Sweden. And married, actually. It took us another five years, but we finally got married.
Hey, you got there.
Is that because you lost your visa?
It did. That's basically what happened.
Like, you can't move back to LA.
Yeah, but just so the vet, jag den med borger. So.
Oh.
Sverige demokraterna.
Sverige is...
Wouldn't that be hilarious? Like, everyone's like, but they want you to leave. Like, I don't understand.
Exactly, that dialect as well.
I don't like that like, Östermalm's dialect. Like, oh my god.
But they actually want you to leave.
They want you to leave.
Oh, I love that old man. Like, oh, they don't have so many education so much.
Oh, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. No, I've seen the clip. It's like... both horrendous and hilarious. But so like I moved here and guys, seriously, like I took myself so seriously as an actor. Like I wanted to be fucking Meryl Streep. Oh, can I curse?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, I was like, fucking shitty ass cunt. Like, sorry.
Oh, that's going to be a soundbite.
Fuck you, shitty ass cunt. Ooh, that's a picture, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fucking shitty ass cunt. That's on Pornhub.
I love how they, like, Spotify always asks me before I post each episode, is this explicit? And I'm like, well.
You're like, today it is.
What is cunt for you?
It's a term of endearment.
Oh, yeah.
So.
If you're Australian.
I mean, also, like, I think in the gay community, it can be, like, especially with drag queens, they love that word.
Yeah, because you work a lot in the drag community.
Yes, exactly.
You photograph?
I do. Okay, but wait, let's go back, because this, I think it's interesting, though, because seriously, I was so desperate to get on stage. Like, I need that validation so much. Like, I'm so obsessed. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm so obsessed with myself that... I needed a stage to perform on. So I think my process at that time was I went to Big Ben for months. I think I went to every show for like six. I'm exaggerating. It was probably like 3 months of going every week during the English night on Thursdays. And at that time, there was a guy hosting Yemi Alpha Lobby who kept seeing me sit in the front row. He's like, what are you doing here? Like, do you really want to do this? And I was like, yes, I'm so glad you asked me. And I got... also plastered the first time that I did stand up. Did you get drunk the first time you did stand up?
Oh, I could barely stand up.
Sit down comedy, am I right?
No, it was definitely like I was drunk. I was so nervous that I couldn't like get properly drunk, and I was also like, this was some years ago, so I was fairly young and my tolerance was like much higher than it is now.
I think this actually is pretty fun because I think I was, because that was a power comedy.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh my god, and I miss power. Mm.
This is the fun story.
Yeah,
because we were there. I was there to support Casper.
Yeah,
you go on.
Oh god, did I do that?
No, because we were like a table of guys,
five guys. Yeah,
and you's like, oh, there's like a whole table of dudes. No, there's one girl, and I was like, nope.
He did not have the beard back then.
God, I did not do that to you. Did I do that to you? Oh my god. And with the beard.
And now I will have my revenge, sir.
I just want to say I respect your gender and your pronouns and whatever you need.
No, you don't need to respect that the white so cis man's gender.
Oh my god, sorry if I'm
screaming. The last person you should respect.
But dude, like, I hate fucking that shit up. Like, I'm so sorry. That is so rude. No. Like, what was I doing that night? That was also probably like a drinking time. Like, because at Power Comedy, like the people who were running that also would drink a lot during show. So it was just like a crazy, you know, bullfight down there of like getting your time on stage and like everybody's drinking. Thank you so much for coming to the show. I really had a great time with you that night. So like I started doing stand-up actually here in Sweden and doing it like that. And it's been a very weird experience and journey to try to like figure out how to become like, quote unquote, a real comedian when I'm an American living here. Like, it's so many things to talk about within stand-up, because I feel like Swedes have their type of comedy, what they think is funny, and like that I feel like I've been playing a caricature this whole time of myself and like not doing like real stand-up kind of thing. But back to what you were talking about, the whole turnaround. Yeah, I've done like a million different jobs trying to freelance, trying to make it in stand-up comedy. And I got into the burlesque and drag queen community by taking photographs for them. I have seen so many titties and a lot of titty tassels. And I'm like, and I'm bisexual and no one knows, but So I'd be
when
like,
this goes tassels, live, titty. At least 10 people would know.
I love the podcast statistics.
My
Everyone's
mom will
like,
know.
Hi, mom. You're so pretty. But yeah, so like that, also that world, I tried drag for a while as well. I had a character.
You did?
I did drag. I did a male character.
What was your character's name?
Roger that.
Oh, shit. That's good.
Yeah.
He was a cowboy that I kind of like made centered around my dad a little bit. Like I played my dad. And so I'd come on. I ain't gonna get nothing. I want to hear a song tonight. And then everyone would be like, what in the goddamn?
This is complicated on so many levels.
Did you say he was based on your dad?
No. Yeah. Yeah. I based him on my dad, my brother, and my uncle. It was like, they live in Florida. About half the family lives in Florida. So it's very like different. It's a lot of guns.
Like swamp.
I really just respect the way you said swamp. Because it felt swampy when you said it. It was this swamp. Swamp. But yeah, they're the swamp peeps. And they are a little swampy. So I don't know, like I've made my way around Stockholm in a lot of different little areas, and I'm so glad that I met you, Casper, and that, oh my God, you reminded me about power comedy, Jesus.
Yeah. I used to call it white power comedy to freak him out. Yeah,
it was
not the neon sign, the neon sign was white neon, and it said power comedy.
And
I was like, I'm in the wrong basement.
Or are you in the right one? No, it was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, white cis man, are you?
No. But also that's hilarious because, you know, oh my God, I almost called Ryan Bussell. Did you know that Ryan Bussell, he used to...
Who's Ryan Bussell?
It was one of the founders of Power Comedy.
Oh.
One of the founders of Power Comedy, and he actually also had a stage name that he never used, which I thought would have been fucking amazing. They called it Power Comedy because I think it's Ryan's grandfather on his mother's side that's named Power. That's their last name.
Oh, who my God. Me?
And yeah. I think Ryan's, I'm going to get this all wrong. You'd have to ask him, but I think his middle name is Jack. So he thought of calling himself Jack Power, which both sounds like an evil superhero.
and like, a teenager in his room.
Yes. It's also a comedian, you know?
And like a male porno star.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, Jack Power.
Jack Power. He's got a massive cock. Yeah.
What's ready to go. What do you call the things you put on their car? Power Jack.
Power Jack. Power Jack. Yes. Power Jack.
That's amazing. Oh, you made a connection. Yeah.
And
I was thinking like he should name his son Horse.
Ew.
Horse Power.
I
thought about Horse Jack and it sounded weird.
Are you going to have children in the future? Like,
hopefully not.
This is a conversation I feel like we need to have before that happens. Yeah. But he,
I remember Ryan.
Ryan, yeah, there was a bit of a falling out there with him in the community, so...
Whoa, can you say why?
Not on the air. We will take that up another
interesting.
Time.
Interesting. Because I remember him from both Big Ben and Power.
Yeah, he actually, honestly, was one of the people that got me started in the industry. I mean, he gave me a lot of legs up and helped me out, and actually... half of the punchlines that I had for a few years were written by Ryan. I mean, and that's another strange thing about stand-up is that I don't really carry the... I think that there's a prestige thing within stand-up that everyone has to write their own material. But I don't personally feel like that. I think whatever bit you're creating, as long as people can help out and make it bigger and better than it ever has been, then you should take it. Like, take it and make it fantastic. So he did that for me early on, and I still use a lot of those jokes.
Yeah, I would completely agree. Like, if there was some kind of, like, SNL equivalent in Sweden, I would be much more interested in that. Whereas you are the one who could deliver the jokes that, like, I think some of the jokes that I write are actually very good, but I don't have the delivery for them.
Is it sort of, can you make the connection to being like an actor? You didn't write the words, but you are the one that
make them
what they are.
Definitely. Yeah. No, definitely.
I mean, Aaron Sorkin couldn't be an actor, but then someone else takes his words and make them something good.
That's a really interesting thought. But also, I think that all the major stand-up specials that we watch always have editors and hands there, and we never really think about that. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're... I've often went and looked at the credits as well to see, like, who helped in this, who wrote. And people don't do that enough in Sweden, I don't think. We need more interaction. Also, if there was a Swedish SNL, it would be the hackiest shit.
Yeah,
that like, would be... I'm down. Don't you feel like it would be very, like, for those listeners, I'm making a lot of body movements right now that are really silly.
She's gyrating all over the place.
I'm gyrating. Gyrating. Because I've noticed that, like, Swedish films are so...
depressing.
I mean, to be honest, yes.
They're, like, super depressing. But stiff. On the... No, I was going to say the comedies are so goofy that they remind me of children's theater.
They're so over
the top physicality. Like, you know, some it's
slapstick.
Like, yes, yeah. Slapstick. Mm. Oh, good English vocabulary. Well done.
Because I think most small towns have like what we call revy, which is like sort of like the like regional theater.
Right.
Song and dance, and they like. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Boop.
Yeah. That sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And people enjoy that because it's easy laughter.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. So I think the people making movies grew up on that sort of entertainment, sort of, or like Bergman, which is really depressing. God.
Dude, so depressing.
So I think they combine them because all Swedish films have this like slapstick, childish humor. And then they have this like horribly depressing segment, sort of like when the main character is going through something. Is like almost taking a needle to the arm. Oof. And then it's like slapstick again. So no one gets what's going on.
And even in these comedies, I feel like things can also get to really dark subjects and they're still like, ha ha, they're a heroin addict. Like, you know.
Alcoholism is like highly represented in Swedish movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's always funny. Though it's always funny, isn't it? I mean, but isn't that where stand-up gets weird though as well? Because in the beginning... Like, the first 5 years I lived here, I spoke, like, restaurangsvenska. Like, I worked in a restaurant, and... Oh, ja, välkommen. Vill ni ha någonting att dricka eller någonting? Like, I just knew how to say, like, ketchup and mustard, and that was it. And even then, there's a joke about that. But but then after, I think it was actually, you know, taking... classes, and in the pandemic I actually got way way better at Swedish by taking a college level course.
Was it SFI?
No, I took SFE, but I also went to a college level course that was called SFC, which was for business professionals. I don't know why they accepted me in that. I do not have a business degree. They were like, she's cute, we should allow a cute person in here, that's fun. And after I started, like, really understanding what Swedish comedians were saying, I felt like there was a lot of wordplay and a lot of, like, snarky, sarcastic representation in Swedish stand-up. And but I feel like there's, like, two different kinds of Swedish stand-up to me. And I'd love to hear what you guys think about my outside perspective on watching this. But it's, like, either people stand up there with a microphone and they're like, yeah, so how do I say... Jag vet inte, men Like, you know, it's like this very chill version of stand-up, or it's like way over the top, super acted out, like slapsticky kind of stand-up. And I feel like somewhere in between that, I guess. Like, I'm still trying to like figure out how to talk to Swedish audiences and like capture them in the subjects that we're talking about. But do you know what I mean? Like, do you feel that way?
Yeah, or? I feel like there's a this is like one of the most popular things for bad comedians to say, but I think that Stockholm has like a notoriously bad audience when it comes to stand-up comedy.
100
And because I went to New York and I went to Gotham comedy. And
where?
Gotham.
Oh, in, my God, that's where so was it? Cool.
In New York.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Big shot. Mr. Worldwide. Oh, Mr. 305. Oh,
wow. I was in New York.
I was in New York and this dog took my quarto.
Oh, shit. That's a good one. Yeah.
Sorry. That's so goofy. But yeah, what happened at Gotham Comedy?
Because when like, it was an amateur night to begin with. This is very important to note because these comedians were funny, but they were not very funny. And when they came out on stage, people were like applauding, like, yeah, you go, girl. And she hadn't even said anything yet. And then she said, like, oh, well, my name is Amy. And they're like, Amy, what a goofy name. And then the whole show was just like people, like, so, some of the jokes were like, she didn't have any, like, good enunciation or, like, delivery. Where
the jokes, were bad.
Yeah, pretty much. And I was sitting like at the back, like, oh, okay. And everyone in the front, like, yeah, you tried. Oh my God, that's good.
You get a participation trophy. Yeah.
Y'all wish that Swedish audiences were like that. Like,
oh my God, you have to work so hard.
We're bitter. Yeah.
I know, like, they are bitter.
I have 4 beers in me. You won't impress me.
No, yeah. But that's how Södermalm is. Like, I look out, arms crossed. Impress me, you know, and it can be so scary. And recently I opened, like, this is kind of how Casper and I were talking with each other these past few weeks. He was actually asking for a spot at my new comedy club at Foxy Comedy.
Let me
elaborate. No, you were actually, you knew that the club was for LGBTQ plus people, and you're like, oh, okay, maybe this isn't for me, but that's cool that you opened it.
Can I do the lights?
Yeah.
Can I be around?
And I still think that that's open for you to come and do a spot, hopefully, because I'm hoping that we'll keep going for a long time. Right now, they're just testing this concept, so we'll see how it goes. But, I mean, part of the concept is also to integrate other, you know, straight comedians into this so that when the LGBTQ plus comedians go to other stand-up comedy clubs in Södermalm, they're like more prepared for how it's going to be. And I have to say, though, that creating an LGBTQ plus comedy club, yo, the energy in those rooms, the support, the hey girl and you go, and it's like a completely different atmosphere. And honestly, let's just say it, like, I was selfishly hoping that that was going to happen just for my sake, that I could like feel enthusiastic and like happy to do stand up, because I had like a really tough time in our community sometimes. Like, I felt really brought down sometimes, and it was nothing that anyone did specifically. It was just kind of more like, I don't know where I stand in here. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I don't know. Do you have any?
Yeah, I think that, like, from what I've gathered from the shows that I have done in various sizes of audiences, is that you have to start small because you have no other choice. Like, yeah, you had to go to Power. Well, it doesn't exist anymore, but like those kind of clubs that
Big Ben is the classic.
Exactly, Big Ben is the classic, like, example of, like, where you can sign up without having any real experience.
Do they do like a background check in some ways? not like a thorough background check, but like, if I would like turn up tomorrow, like, yeah, can I do like 5 minutes?
Yeah, do you want to? I know who's running the mic tomorrow.
No, I don't.
Gotcha, bitch.
I'm not a stand-up comedian.
The easy answer is no, they do not. And people have been, like, not dragged off stage as much as they, like, were very heavily encouraged to go.
But you can't stand up same night. Yeah. Like a drunk guy just showing up. I thought of some funny shit. I talked to my friends, like, 2 minutes ago. Can I say some funny shit for 5 minutes?
I think Big Ben doesn't generally do that. Power did, however, and that was an issue. Goddamn, I was like,
yeah,
oh my god,
I was so happy that I got a shot, and I'm always gonna be happy for that. But that also means
I
that
filmed
people,
you there. You made it like sort of a reel.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah,
I gotta see that.
Oh no,
oh, it's on it's on his Instagram.
Oh, I know. I started following him today.
You did a creepy Instagram thing of like liking a photo from like several months ago.
It's pinned to your profile, isn't it?
What pinned to my profile?
I don't think he knows how to pin on
what?
Instagram.
No, oh, no. Man. Okay. All right. Fine. All right. Fine. Yes. I did a deep dive.
Yeah. It was like a photo from.
Wait, who is this guy
ago.
Now again?
Who is this guy? How do I know him? What happened here? What's going on?
And I am creepy in many ways, but my Instagram does not actually show that. So,
what were we talking about?
Audiences.
Audiences
in Stockholm for a stand-up. Yeah, I think that as soon as you start getting up to the numbers of like maybe 100 people or something,
yeah,
then you're actually going to get a better response because people are often looking to other people to see how they should react to the joke in Stockholm.
Yeah, totally.
Whereas in New York, from what I actually like...
If you don't laugh, you're an asshole.
No, but they're more like eager to laugh, and they actually want to laugh because they think it's funny, and they want to think it's funny. So when I performed at Cosmic, as it was called, I think.
Hornhuset.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh! Thank you so much. Oh my God, Alex. Biggest fan.
That was like, I realized that I had to wait a couple of seconds because I told a joke, and then like. A group of people over here started laughing, like maybe like 10 people. And then I just like looked across the room for 1 second, like the laughter started spreading. Like they were
It just kind of like trickle effect, yeah. Like through the whole place. Yeah. But,
well, if I can ask a question for maybe for me and for maybe some of the listeners, as a person who has never done stand up, how well do you hear like the laughter in the back? Like if like two people laugh, do you hear that it's two people laughing or do you just hear laughter? And like, shit, I nailed that one.
Casper.
Oh my God, I thought
over to you.
Is that like a fair question?
No, yeah. But I think it's a very fair question. It's a good question as well. In my opinion, I think the people in the back are the ones that I kind of fixate my eyes on, to be honest.
You don't want to look at people up front.
You don't. Like staring back. Oh, very happy to see you here.
So happy.
What do you do
tonight?
For a living?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you guys together?
Yeah, exactly. Let me get in between that sandwich.
But it's a difficult question, especially like I'm on the spectrum, so eye contact is no go for me.
So,
I'm trying to like evaluate in different ways how people react to my jokes, and that's why I think that my hearing is also bad, but I try to focus on like where I'm hearing most of the laughs from. So I kind of center myself on that part of the stage. So that they can hear the jokes extra well. So that is something that I tried, but I don't know how well it works, to be honest. But to answer your question, sorry, I got off track here. I think the simple answer is no, you don't know exactly how many people in the back are laughing.
You just hear laughter.
Yeah, but you're going to see some people.
Or you don't hear laughter.
That's the two options.
Wait, but how long have you been doing stand-up now? Is it like 5 or 6 years?
Yeah, but there's been like periods of me doing stand-up.
I know, yeah, but that's kind of how it goes, I feel like, you know.
So like recently, like maybe a year ago at this point, I got a new job and I wanted to focus on like actually doing good at my job.
Yeah,
so like
yeah.
Writing jokes on the staff breaks weren't actually doing it for me.
Oh man, that makes me sad. And now I want to really get you a spot at Foxy. I'll throw you into the gaze.
Yeah, and I also
dog a bone.
I want to clarify that I did not want a spot at Foxy. I actually.
But why not?
And though Oh my god.
Yeah. What are you don't want to come?
What are you afraid of?
Yeah, what are you afraid of?
No, sorry, like it's
cooties.
It's nothing offensive. I just really hate gay people. No.
Redacted.
Same. Yeah. No. What? No. Kidding.
It's nothing against the club. It's just that I actually wanted you on the podcast. that is the entirety of it all.
Well, we had you on our wish list as a guest for like a while.
Oh my god! Well, I'm delighted to be here, you guys. Thank you so much, and for the beer. This is very good beer, by the way.
Yeah, you can pay us on the way out.
Oh, no. I have to be going. Thank you so much.
We will be invoicing. No.
But I mean, after doing stand-up for 8 years, first of all, let's just acknowledge that I don't react well when I'm not getting laughs. I get, like, upset.
And that's why you call Alice a girl.
I mean, honestly, that's why. I get pissed. I start thinking to myself, I'm a genius. Like, I get Kanye in my head, you know? I'm just like, I'm a fucking genius. Like, I don't know why I'm not laughing. And, like,
funny you say that when you did a show at White Power Comedy.
Like, I think one time, a comedian, Frederica, she was there at night when, like, I got zero, not just laughs, but like no interaction. Like everyone was just like, ugh, like tired of me that night. And I was like, hey, those jokes have a lot of potential. And I actually said that on stage. And she was like, that was some queen shit. these jokes have potential. Like, I think I have a harder time reacting to silence than I do, because I feel like also in New York, or in the US, or even in the UK, I feel like Sweden is its own animal, because even Australian clubs that I've heard about, the UK, it's basically like there's room to heckle. There's room that you can like decide that you're going to boo the comics, or like, you know, snarky shit up to the comics and stuff. And that's more normal behavior. Here, it's like, if you don't like it, you're silent. Mm. And dealing with silence really sucks, because you're like, do they hate me? Are they bored? Are they tired? Like, what's going on out there? So that's why I think I get so frustrated and like start yelling at the audience a little bit.
Booing is still interaction.
You get
something that you can actually throw back at audience.
Next joke.
Oh my god.
I've started watching a lot of Instagram reels.
Yeah.
And it's like a lot of stand up.
Oh, it's addicting, those reels, for sure.
Oh, it's so addicting.
Dude.
I send a lot of them to Casper.
It's
a part-time job looking at all the shit he sends me.
But the thing is a lot of stand-up comedy, and a lot of it's from the US, and a lot of it is, like you say, people like heckling.
Yeah.
Like say, or just say random shit like, I was in Quebec last week. And like, what does that has nothing to do with my
anything.
Jokes.
Yeah.
And but it's still an interaction.
Yeah.
Well, like you say, I recognize that so much in Sweden, like people just being quiet, like, I don't get that joke. Or they're like, that's offensive, I'm not going to laugh, I'm going to take a stand.
Maybe it's also that thing about using improvisation. Like, Casper, have you taken improv classes here in Stockholm?
I've taken improv
classes. You've taken improv?
Yeah.
Where did you take improv? High school. Oh. That's so sweet. Which was like 2 years ago, right? Because you're so young.
It was like 4 years ago, actually. No, but it was like... Anyway.
I was like, I wasn't trying to be like weird about it. I was like, you're young. Like, I don't know.
I'm sorry, but when I told my dad that I was started with stand-up comedy, he was like, oh, well, that's fine. You can do porn or you can do drugs, but yes, please never son do improv comedy.
No, it wasn't like improv, it was like we get to learn how to be improvisational.
I get that.
So we like walked around the room and we were like pointing at stuff and calling it something completely different.
Oh yeah, yeah, like, that's a fun exercise.
That's a crossing, that's a sidewalk, that's a falcon.
Yeah.
So you were just doing LSD?
Basically. It kind of sounds like that, but yeah. LSD,
but it was really fun.
That's an acting exercise as well. It's about imagination, and it's also about letting your mind... Yeah, I guess that's imagination. I was about to be like, how do I explain imagination? In acting school, they made us do a lot of things like that. And what the purpose of that in acting school is to get yourself out of planning what you're going to do next. So that when you do that enough times, you free yourself from the boundaries that you have in everyday life. So it can be really fun to do that stuff for comedy as well, because then all of a sudden you start creatively seeing things the way that you've never seen them before. And sometimes you find like random jokes or like something situationally funny about calling a lamp a beer bucket. I don't know. Just made something up. But there are great improv classes and improv studios here. Peck. Yeah, if that's how you... Oh God, what the fuck? I want to give them a shout out. Fuck me in the ass. No, don't.
So, we would like to give a shout out to Fuck Me in the Ass, the best improv studio around. Fuck Me in the Ass.
I didn't say I was going to be good on this podcast. I said I was just going to come.
But I heard of a free bear.
Is that a free bear? But like I think that there's definitely something to doing improv for comedy, because then you kind of learn a new skill about how to interact. And those videos that you're watching on Reels, I mean, that's their improv. That isn't even their material. And that's why they post it, so that they don't have to reveal their material that they do every show, which everyone seems to get super confused about. Like the audience... I mean, whenever you see a joke for the first time, it's super funny. And then, like, the next three or four times that you hear it, it becomes less and less and less funny, unless you're listening to my hentai joke, for example, and then it just gets funnier every time. but I think that that's why that's so popular and why that's so big. And I feel like that never happens here in Sweden. Otto Carlson did start a TikTok channel based on crowd interaction and stuff.
He had a lot of crowd interactions.
Big time. I mean, he's made his name by doing crowd interaction, but he had to instigate it. Like, he had to be like, where are you from? What do you work with? Like, he had to, like, really go after the crowd. In the U.S. or the U.K., I mean, people are just heckling you and, like, saying, yeah, I'm a Jew, or, like, you know,
what the fuck? Is that the Kanye state of mind again?
I don't. Can we clip all this out? Can we start over? Oh my god, so embarrassing.
Så vi kommer ta om det här på svenska istället.
Verkligen. Catherine,
if there's anyone in Canada still listening, they're like gone.
So okay, but I can actually take this on another track because we still have some questions that we were supposed to ask.
We have. I actually did the
porn.
Yeah, that too.
You and Casper.
Don't look it up. Because it's really good.
Halvfulla rumpor med Alex och Casper.
I found your Twitter.
What?
Yeah.
I'm terrified.
You don't have to be terrified. Okay. But we usually do like a background search.
So why did you do porn?
I think actually...
And why was it Robin Sparkles?
Why didn't I continue in porn, I guess, is the more operative question.
No, but I want to get back to the thing you said about you don't have to write your own jokes. One of your tweets from... This is actually really funny. I think it was 2016. You posted a tweet that said, does anyone have a good Game of Thrones joke I can do for my show tonight?
Fuck off. I did not write that.
Yeah, you did.
Show it to me. Show it to me. I do not. No, don't really. But I seriously don't believe you. Like, what the fuck?
This is some kind of time capsule shit.
So, and the thing that got me was that you had zero interactions in your tweets up until this point.
This was when people were like, oh, yeah, of course. I've got some Game of Thrones jokes.
Dude, also, like, my previous tweet, like, I talked to Game of Thrones, like, it was, like, I was, like, a 40-year-old horny man on the internet. I said, come on, hashtag Game of Thrones, get here already. I want you so bad.
I love the mail order prostitute kind of situation going on here.
Dude, do you understand why I don't use Twitter anymore looking at this?
And no, I think it's funny.
April 1st, 2015, P.S. hashtag Martha Stewart is one badass motherfucker. Hope that woman opens a comedy tour. So hilarious and insightful. Winky face.
But wasn't she on like Comedy Central Roast?
Yeah, she had a roast. And it was amazing. Oh my God, I love the roasts. I wish that we had more roasts here as well. There has been one.
Have you seen? Yeah, the roast on Vange.
Yes.
Horrible. Not horrible. Not what I hoped.
No, but some of the episodes were fine.
That's what we're going for is fine.
I mean, like, but also Sweden.
Yeah.
In Sweden, like, fine. That's a perfect fucking score.
But the thing with the Comedy Central roast is the people that are getting roasted, we know a lot about them.
Oh, yeah.
In Sweden, it's like, yeah, this guy did this 5 years ago. People are like, what? I don't know idea who this guy is.
Yeah.
And they tell a joke based on information from 5 years ago. And like, I don't even know if this is true. Whilst the joke about Donald Trump, it's really fun that Snoop Dogg says, you want us to run for president? Why not? Wouldn't be the first time we kicked a black family out of their home.
That's
funny.
That was good. There's
a certain discrepancy between people who know the celebrities and people who appreciate comedy.
None
of these people are actually included in this because the people that know the celebrities, they do not get jokes. The people who know comedy, they do not get celebrities. So I think
my favorite roast ever from Comedy Central was when Justin Bieber volunteered himself for a roast battle.
Yeah.
Dude, that was like Nikki Glaser, Martha Stewart,
and Chris D'Elia. Shaq.
Yeah, Chris D'Elia was,
it was
on
like,
that.
Why am I here?
Yeah. He's like, I'm busy. Like, I don't know. So that was a genius roast.
Who was there that was only there because of Justin Bieber's favorite comedian?
That's Chris D'Elia.
Chris D'Elia. I recognize that.
It was like, oh, I'm Justin Bieber's favorite comedian. That's sad.
Yeah.
Chris D'Elia. I recognize the name.
Yeah, but he kind of like also, I haven't seen him release any stand-up specials or anything on. No, or has he? Like
he has, but he had kind of a period during that time.
When
was it? Like 2016?
He looks kind of rough.
And he had like three specials released in the period of like 6 months or so.
Right.
And then he just kind of, like, everyone forgot about him. He was on the Netflix series You.
He was in the first season.
Second season.
That fucking show. Yeah. I hate watch that show now. Yeah. I'm like,
I mean, the first season I actually thought was good, and the second I haven't even.
Is that the one with the stalker?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rating Netflix series is not quality content, so I'm not gonna dive into that.
Let's but not like, dive.
I'm guessing you have a question.
For sure. Because, well, we talked about it before actually starting the podcast now, but you have very vocal opinions about weed, and that is, of course, something that we should talk about. I think a good starting point is that you actually worked with the Swedish television, like SVT, to do a kind of like a mini documentary or... I do not... recall what it was called now.
The series is called Skov.
I was gonna say Smok and was like, nah.
Smok is actually better. But Skov, and what SVT wanted to do was try to create a program that was based around controversial topics. So like Christopher Nyquist had incels. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the other episodes were based around feminism or around trans people, and I chose drugs. And actually, if I were to go
That's the opposite of Trainspotting.
I know, right? Jesus.
I choose drugs.
I choose drugs. Basically. I mean, but that whole experience was fascinating because I also went into the initial meeting with a lot of ideas. They chose that I would talk about that. I brought like maybe a dozen different ideas about subjects that we could talk about, material that I had based around that. Like I wanted to talk about feminism. I wanted to talk about like Swedish society in terms of like how they handle rape and shit like that. Like mm-hmm. And they were like, no, let's go with drugs. So in that 15 minutes, I mean, I really wanted to explicitly expose Swedish people also as well for consuming drugs. I wanted to talk about like Sweden's weird view on alcohol as opposed to drugs. I wanted to show that we're already growing hemp in this country, that there's already people who have medicinal use, which got cut from the episode. So what happened after that, even more interestingly, is that after that episode aired, it's like a 15 minute episode of me diving into weed in Sweden, essentially. And after that, I got cast in a play called Drug Ögon mitt i ansiktet, where again, I had a character who did drugs in the play who was American. So I'm now aligning myself kind of with that.
Was it hard to play that character?
It was so hard. I had to like really dig deep.
No. I also love I love the casting director. Like, oh, she's American and do drugs. We are looking for American who do drugs. Yes. Well, now I will have the rest of my week free.
And I love how I was like, yeah, that's me. Like, I'm free in February. Let's do it. I think it's so bizarre to talk to Swedes because I feel like we're on a very different page than the US. And something that still really bothers me is that SVT did cut me off at some points. They wanted this to be funny and they wanted this to be about recreational use. So they were like focusing on, okay, like how do you do like recreational weed? And I was like, yeah, but you know, that's only half of the conversation. The other half of the conversation,
yeah.
The other half of the conversation is about medicinal use and about like how it can actually impact us with medicine in like a healthcare system. And that's where they cut me off. They were like, you know, we've only got 15 minutes to talk about this subject. Because one of the clips that I wanted to show, which we did a deep dive, me, the editor, and the researcher, because they hooked me up with a team of people who were going to help me out and writing this episode.
Oh, that's very cool.
It was fucking awesome. It was so great. Tiffany Kronlov was my editor. Amazing. Fantastic editor and really just a great writer and helped me a lot. And we looked up clips of, like, did you know that there's over a dozen people in this country who have legal medicinal marijuana?
I knew about like one from there's an over article a dozen. About 10 years ago.
Yeah, there's over a dozen now. You can literally go to Apple Tickets and pick up grass.
Shit.
Yeah, that's what I said. Shit.
It feels so
How
very
do I
strange.
Get on that train?
I know. I was like, what kind of epilepsy do I need to have, doctor? Let's go.
For it to be available to use like a few select people, that's a very strange solution in that sense, I would say.
It's like that they basically how they would have gotten that is that they are at the end of all resources. So they've tried every other thing. So this is epilepsy, Parkinson's, and cancer. So there's like, you know, and those are more common than we think, and that there are they don't actually even have to smoke grass. Like they could actually have an oil that has the THC component removed and it can still help them with their epilepsy or their Parkinson's. So it's something that I deeply like care about, that I want to talk about, that I just can't understand why we're not having the conversation. But it was interesting also to deep dive into the recreational use because holy shit, like this country consumes a lot of weed on a weekly basis. Like we found some insane statistics of people who smoke in this country. So I'm like, yo, like where are my Swedes at? Like show up where for the conversation. Yeah. Like why is there one party in this country? Pidots, partiet.
Yeah.
Det är nästan 0.5% eller någonting. Mm. I don't know how big their party is.
They're not big anymore. They were on the
0.5%, that is generous.
Is it generous? Yeah. It's probably like 0.2 or something.
Something like that.
They were on the upswing right before Spotify launched. When people wanted to see movies for free, they were still active.
Yeah, so the weed movement has had nothing with their political status. I think they just kind of threw it in there, to be honest.
They also have a very unspecific drug policy, making it very generalized, that they want to decriminalize all drugs, which is like a Portuguese way of going. It's so far off the Swedish map that there's no way that we're ever going to talk about that.
Well, didn't they want to do like the Darwin thing? Like everyone do everything and those who survive, like not exactly like that, but sort of like, if you take a bunch of heroin, you're gonna die, and we should educate people about this, but also make it available.
there's a long story here, but the short version is that, you know Miljöpartiet.
I do know Miljöpartiet. Yes. I've heard of them.
You have heard of them.
You have heard of them.
I think they are very good. they began with their environmental politics, and then they realized that we're big enough to have to be required to have opinions, like even the Sweden Democrats are in the same kind of boat where they just had a singular opinion and they had to develop opinions about everything in Swedish politics.
Mm-hmm. So they worked backwards from the opinion to the party.
Right.
So they actually had great success in the beginning with having diversifying to school politics. So they had very strong opinions about that. The Pirate Party, however, they diversified to drugs. They started with a very singular opinion of everything on the internet should be free. And then that was very popular for a short amount of time. They actually got into the European Union Parliament. So even though they didn't have very great success
that
in
was
Sweden.
That was when Pirate Bay put their servers under the Pirate Party's name, I think.
Right.
So it was political censorship if the state took their servers.
Right. Yeah. Yes. And it was kind of genius.
Amazing solution.
It's really funny.
Yeah, because
also hilarious. Yeah. That's how you know it was good.
Because I have legally downloaded so many things.
So fucking much.
And I don't even support it. I think it's wrong. But it's
same. But I'm if it's not available on one of the five five streaming platforms, if it's not available on YouTube, what do you want me to do? I need to see Contact today.
That's such a good argument because I want to show because my girlfriend Evelyn she hadn't watched 12 Angry Men.
What?
Which was
a good one.
She has now. Don't worry.
Okay, I was about to storm out of the room.
Yeah, but
and hit her. No,
it's one of my favorite movies ever, if not my actual favorite
it's
movie.
Top three.
Oh wow!
Top three for
but. Either way, it's from 1957. It's so difficult to get a hold of. And I tried. I looked up streaming 12 Angry Men. And we just don't have any service in Sweden which actually provides the film, except illegally.
Yeah.
And so either I had to find the last kind of blockbuster equivalent in Sweden, where there are none.
No, there's...
No, but they only sell candy now.
That's just candy and chips and stuff. I know I went into a Hemmekfeld doing the exact same thing, looking for Swedish films, actually, where I wanted to watch different Swedish movies.
Only candy. Either way, I ended up actually downloading it illegally, which I'm saying here because this is somewhat of a political stand for me.
We got him.
We can stop the podcast. We've got him.
SWAT team rushing in.
But For the actual Pirate Party, how they transitioned from this to going to all drugs are good and we should legalize them and people should die if they're not good at life and they were kind of just making a best
right
their
yeah they went. Yeah
wait how did we get here
well
oh, But that question about how do we get here, like, I was taking that as how did Sweden get to the place where it is with drugs, which is also a very good fucking question, because I still don't really get it, because I know that Sweden had its little 70s thing, just like we did in the U.S., but at that same time, Sweden was ultra super progressive on lots of issues and kind of created the Sweden that we live in today. Mm-hmm. So how drugs wasn't picked up in that movement in terms of not just, you know, living in a free society. Destigmatized. That is great vocabulary. Yeah. 10 points for Gryffindor or Slytherin.
I have no idea. I haven't taken the test. No, I haven't taken the test.
Girl. Okay, but I think Evelyn is
playing like Hogwarts Legacy 10 meters from
us. Shut the fuck up. I gotta get in there.
But she actually is. What the?
She is.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sitting with my back against the TV and here, so that's the impressive thing
that
here.
That is impressive. You two love each other. But I think really to digress back to that a little bit about being open about my views on policy use and integration of drugs into Swedish life. I mean, it's already being done. And I think what's weird about the society that we live in right now is that we consume a shitload of drugs. We know that because the Swedish government took a sample of our wastewater and they found out that we were doing a shitload of weed. We're sniffing a ton of coke. Like, there is so amphetamine. There are so many drugs that we're consuming in this country. And we have one of the highest overdose related deaths in Europe. So people dying in this country because we're not taking care of them, because we're shutting this out. Like, so we've seen so many countries do before that when you make people hide, they end up dying or they end up misusing or they end up on drug. Like, even if you're thinking that you're buying marijuana, you might be buying spice or you might be buying something that's actually really bad for your health. So we're already doing it. But the way that Sweden portrays us doing drugs isn't about the people that are actually consuming it. It's who's selling it. So everything is snobby cash. Everything is about the people that are in the, like, you know, what Sweden considers, quote unquote, the ghetto neighborhoods, which again, like, bitch, please. But I mean, I don't think Rinkeby and Hasselby are like these hardcore neighborhoods. I feel like to Swedes that in Stockholm, that's like, oh my God, like, that's where I get my drugs. It's so bad. But that's just not the reality of how it actually is right now.
Sorry, and I didn't mean to laugh. It was just like, oh, that's where I get my drugs. It's got to be bad. Like, oh.
Yeah, but that's how I think Swedes view it. I mean, am I far off or like, or is that kind of accurate? Yeah, or
the most people I talk to about like those sort of neighborhoods, people are like, it's dangerous. It's really, no.
Because we're talking about no-go zones for a while. And
That was fucked up.
Yeah, that was fucked up. Like,
what the fuck?
So we actually declared several zones in Stockholm. Like, not even out, like, it's not in far from the inner city. Like, if you're talking about Husby, for example.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
This is a zone which it has its problems. And we should, of course, acknowledge that they have their problems.
But calling it a no-go zone.
God fucking damn. Like, maybe like 500 meters from where I live, we had a shooting like maybe 3-4 months ago or something.
We've had several in Hagerstan as well.
Yeah, and like, this shit is horrible, but it happens kind of wherever you live.
Wherever you live, and also, except I mean, where I live. Yeah, and I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I mean, there is a lot of like gang crime that's horrible, but I still think it's just so fucking classic, like how this country has reacted as well. I mean, Sverigedemokraterna is an excellent example of going, well, if we didn't have these immigrants here, then we wouldn't have these drug problems. You know, we wouldn't have these gang problems. And I'm like, yo, someone's buying the fucking drugs. Yeah. Okay. Like, there is plenty of nice white educated people who are buying a lot of drugs. And what I've noticed, by the way, as a comedian, as a voiceover actor, so I go to video game companies and I do like, I work with all different kinds of people in the tech industry. People are microdosing, which is like taking small amounts of mushrooms, small amounts of cocaine, small amounts of marijuana throughout their day so that they can have more creative space in their heads because they're so stressed out about everything that's going on. So I just, I feel like we don't have an accurate picture of, and I mean, what's cool about me is that I feel like I'm allowed to say this to you guys. I feel like Swedes have a really difficult time raising these issues, but because I'm American, because I'm so outspoken about it, because of my view on it and everything, I feel like it's easier for me. Like, it's easier from the outsider perspective to just say it. But I hope that in some ways, I hope my stand-up, like, I do a lot more stand-up about drugs. I've done this TV show. I did that play. I mean, I want people to just be more open to conversation, like, and be more chill about it.
Yeah, but first of all, I'm going to start all my sentences from here on with what's cool about me. What's cool about me is that I actually think I'm going to say this now.
The thing is, like, you also have, like, perspective because you have experience, sort of, from, especially, like, weed. where it's legal in Colorado.
Yeah, that's the only place I've done it, is where it's legal.
She's making a motion with her head, but I cannot say anything else.
But living in a society where it's even legalized,
yeah,
you get a whole different perspective of how it works in society when it's legalized.
Yeah.
While we are just living in a fantasy world, like being like, why won't the government legalize it? Or being like, you shouldn't legalize it because a lot of people, like,
yeah,
everyone has an opinion, but no one really knows what it would be like.
Yeah, that's so
while you
fascinating.
Guys have that perspective.
Yeah, because in the Skov documentary,
yeah,
clip that you made, you actually met General Knas. And
told 12
hours.
Day.
Yeah. That was a fucking great day.
I was like, well, I mean, I was kind of secondhand starstruck. Like, I,
right?
Because I don't get starstruck. Like, you can actually vouch for me. I don't get starstruck.
You get really starstruck now.
But it's just like some of these people I think are really cool. Like, Captain Röd is also one of the people
oh, yeah,
that I met.
Fuck yeah.
Like,
that's
I met
amazing.
Him and he was like the nicest person I've met. And
met Sister Sol.
Oh, hey, oh.
Just wanted to be a part of the conversation.
No. You did great.
And first of all, I loved how, like, he didn't know whether to speak Swedish or English.
Yeah, it was a lot like that during the day, but he liked speaking English with me. Som det är I Sverige. And, can I practice my English with you?
Yeah, and that's kind of like I feel kind of like hit in this particular episode. We've been doing it in English. I know that you do speak Swedish, but I think it's better for all of us if it's in English.
Yeah,
don't you agree?
I think so too. Yeah,
that reminds
good.
Me. We've actually had a full conversation in Swedish.
Oh, oy, oy.
When I worked at Nespresso a long time ago.
Oh,
va?
At Olias. Nej,
du sålt.
And I recognized you from Casper's stand-up.
I love how we have this, like, origin story.
Har du sagt någonting till mig? No. Har du sagt, oh, Catherine, oh, hey, vi träffas på PowerCom. Nej, du bara säljer min maskin eller någonting.
Nej, you bought coffee from me. You showed up and, like, said, hi, hey, I want to buy coffee in Swedish.
Wait, did you translate my English from Swedish? Wait,
I think I did.
Kan jag snälla få två stycken av där och två stycken av där eller någonting?
Absolut.
Ja, vad snäll du var.
Är du medlem hos oss?
Ja, vad gjorde du?
Tog fram din legitimation.
Var det i Nespresso? Åhléns City. Vi håller hand nu.
Yeah.
It's very romantic.
We both know this place.
Nej,
we
men vad out. Kul. Men vi har inte pratat någonting. Varför har du inte sagt någonting?
Guys, I didn't know
för
you then.
The last interaction, you told him he was a girl.
I feel really bad about that.
No,
you look
you
very manly. I love your man features. Like, they're really
this
strong.
This is like the...
This is one of the weirdest pep talks I've ever been part of.
I think, like, the listeners don't know
really
I'm
low.
Holding a gun and
yeah,
like
yeah.
A note, like, say
yeah.
This.
And it's also a gun that I gave him because I'm from America. No, I'm just
your lucky. Manly musk is empowering and overpowering me.
I have a musk and a musket.
The fact that Swedes know the word musket makes me feel like a really bad Swede. Like, I don't know what that would be in Swedish. Like, I don't know what we would even say.
I don't know what we call
it. It's actually musket. So it's, yeah.
Very and what do you call a musket nut?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, it sounds delicious. That's like, where muskot. Do I get it? Musket.
That's nutmeg.
Mm. Oy, vad gott.
Do we have more questions? Have we answered the question?
I know. I was like, wait, did I answer the question? It was like, how do I feel about drugs? No.
Oh, I actually have a fun one, which also might be freaking you out. Do you like your Bali handbag?
Shut the fuck up. Oh my God.
I'm sensing a nod war
leaving.
Moment here.
I'm fucking leaving. I think I actually removed that post.
Oh, but they didn't.
No, we remember. Pepperidge Farm remembers.
To put this in context, Bali handbags is they make handbags from Bali, of course. But they have an Instagram account with 145 followers.
145.
And they have a picture of Catherine.
Okay.
A hot picture.
Sporting good their hot, delicious Bali handbag.
I mean, yes, I do. I have one of them. I bought three and whoa. I gave two away. It was my good colleague and friend, Ree Versteeg. Ree is a comedian who actually has a house in Bali that she rents out. It's like a huge, like, mansion type style house.
Bungalow.
Yeah, exactly. That she like rents out to Swedes and stuff who like come and stay there. Fucking amazing. She probably makes a great living. And she knows people who work there. And she came back with, like, you know, 40-something handbags and was like, yeah, let's support them and their cause. And I was like, yeah, buy a couple. And I gave two away and kept one. And so, yeah, fucker. Yeah, I do have a fucking Bali handbag.
You were not totally prepared for that normal.
Yeah, I really was not. And I'm like, I think I removed that post. And I feel bad. I
mean, Alex has his ways.
I have my ways.
This has
research.
Been...
your ways. Yeah.
I can find like a lot of... Like, this is like a hidden talent.
Yeah, and
that I
appreciate your hidden talent so much because it gives us these moments. And Catherine is signaling like, "Let me out! Please stop pointing this gun at me."
I love guns.
But before you, before you stand up, we're actually running out of time here. So
Obama can't take these guns.
Do you have tickets to the gun show?
We got to round up here.
Oh, we're gonna round off.
Yeah, we're out of time.
We are? Yeah. That went so fast.
It usually does. It usually does.
Oh, nice. So, hell yeah.
Anyway, we're so grateful that you wanted to come on the show, Catherine. And we're very, very thankful that you've been here. And you've been a very terrific guest.
But is there anything you would like to plug for the people listening?
Yeah. Hi, everybody.
My name is Catherine.
My name is Catherine. Please follow me on Instagram at Roulette Laroe. I apologize for the not being able to spell that. Okay, Roulette Laroe. And I have a new comedy club open called Foxy Comedy. And we run every Tuesday right now. Please follow us there. I am actually going to start my own podcast and YouTube channel called Har du sett, which is me breaking down Swedish films. So I'm very excited to release that at the end of the month. So I'm super excited. So follow me on Instagram to see where you can get the link for that on YouTube. So super excited. But that's it. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
Perfect.
So I would like to say grattis I Småland.
Grattis.
Adrian
Kria på dig. Han kommer inte lyssna på det här. My friend is from Småland. He's home with a fever and he's not going to listen to this.
Gross.
Still give him a shout.
He's not going to listen to this crap. Oh my God. Crap. We're as always very grateful for you listeners as well.
You have been Casper.
I have been Casper. You have been Alex.
I have been Alex.
I've been Catherine most of the time. Perfect. Yeah.
So we can be found where podcasts are to be found. And with that, I will bid you adieu. Thank you very much.
Adieu?
Wait, do we not taste the beer?
Oh, well, we'll do that after, I promise. You will get beer.
You will get more beer.
This has been so cool, you guys. Thank you so, so, so much. Really fun. And thank you for showing me that tweets, you asshole. God, like, what the fuck? But yeah, and yeah, thank you so much. This has been great.
That's awesome. So for me, I will say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
And Catherine is drinking, so bye from her as well.